This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The government's stake in GM gets cut in half as the automaker goes public.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. When the New York Stock Exchange opens this morning, investors will see a pretty recognizable ticker symbol reappear on the big board, GM. The price, $33 a share. The automaker is making its initial public offering, which is expected to be the second largest IPO ever. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith joins us live in the New York Bureau here with more. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning.
So we're expecting some strong interest from investors. Why is this company, which went bankrupt a year ago, so popular all of a sudden?
Right. Well, post-bankruptcy GM is basically a whole new animal. David Cole is with the Center for Automotive Research. He says a bankruptcy let GM shed billions of dollars in debt, most notably so-called legacy costs. Those are retirement benefits and healthcare benefits.
They've literally taken about $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 out of the cost of every car and truck they make. So it really sets the table for a very, very bright and profitable future.
Right now, there's actually a waiting list to buy GM shares.
A waiting list. Now, taxpayers poured $50 billion into this company in that bailout, Stacey. How does this affect the government's stake in GM?
Well, the IPO will take the government's stake in GM from about 60% to about 25%. And Robert Schultz with Standard & Poor's says shedding the government motors image will also help GM sell cars.
We think that that should help them with the North American consumer.
GM share price would actually still have to go up by more than a third to about $53 a share for the federal government to get its bailout money back.
We'll be watching to see if that happens anytime soon. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reporting here in New York. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, GM stock, as I said, will start the trading day at $33 a share. Let's see what's going on right now in stock markets around the world. Shares are heading back up in Asia and in Europe, where leaders are trying to hammer out a solution to the Irish debt crisis. We just got earnings from the owner of Sears and Kmart. The company reported a $218 million loss thanks to stiff competition from Target and Walmart. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 15 points to close at 11,007. To China now, where prices on consumer goods are rising so fast that even McDonald's says it's going to charge more for its food there. And a report out this morning from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says inflation in China will continue for the foreseeable future. The BBC's Chris Hogg reports now from Shanghai.
China is a hungry consumer of the world's commodities and food. So if Beijing can slow inflation, it could help both Chinese consumers and others around the world. First, in China, the price of food is what most consumers care about more than anything else. Tom Orlick is China analyst for Stone and McCarthy Research Associates. He says the government can directly intervene in the food markets to directly control the prices of some specific products.
They say to retailers, this month the price for a pound of pork is X. And if we find you selling pork at a higher price than that, we're going to come and we're going to fine you.
However, US and global consumers don't care about the cost of food in China as much as they care about how much Chinese-made toys and clothes will cost on the store shelf. And with rising commodity prices, those products are getting more expensive to make and to sell. In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Chris Hogg for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist Online. and by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at MassMutual.com.
So everyone's trying to balance the budget. We got the plan last week from the President's Deficit Commission. Yesterday there was another plan, and there will probably be more proposals in the coming weeks. But our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has found a disturbing trend in these deficit-cutting plans, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what's the similarity between these plans?
Well, it's an underappreciated aspect of these plans is that they give baby boomers, the generation that has created the fiscal mess, basically a pass on fixing the problem.
They're getting off the hook. What do you mean? What are the examples of this?
It's really noticeable in the Bowles-Simpson plan. All right,
yep.
So they say, we're going to boost the retirement age for Social Security to age 69 by 2075. The boomers are going to be dead by then. Okay, so you're going to gradually hike the federal gas tax by 15%, all right, starting in 2013. Aging boomers, they're not going to be driving much when they're old. And, with tax reform, you eliminate the child, tax credit. Well, guess what? Hopefully, the kids are out of the house. So if you just go through all these things, it's not going to affect the boomers that much.
So why are they designing the plans this way?
The main reason is going on is that you want to protect aging boomers because they've lived under one set of rules. For example, mortgage tax deduction. Well, a lot of boomers went out there, bought a house with a mortgage tax deduction. You take it away. That seems unfair. But the thing is, the more that you protect the boomers, the more you pass the costs on to future generations. And that doesn't seem fair to me.
And, of course, the boomers are the ones who vote. Do you think that they will end up paying a price at any point in the end here?
Yes, I do. And for two reasons. One, there's going to be a lot of negotiation. And in that negotiation, boomers are going to end up paying a bigger price. But here's the real thing, Jeremy. You know, if you look at the long-term budget deficit, the fundamental issue is the rising cost of Medicare. That's the real problem.
Yeah.
And in the end, that's where a lot of the changes are going to be. And boomers, they're starting to file for Medicare.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, in Idaho, a doctor had asked a county treasurer to include colonoscopy reminders in everyone's annual tax notices. Seems like a healthy idea. Well, not to the county treasurer. She denied the request because she said recommending a colonoscopy in the same envelope as a tax notice may be considered a bit ironic. Well, we've got a new book blog about the latest books on business and the economy. It's called The Big Book, and it's at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Some banks do it with low fees. Some do it with fancy technology. Some just do it differently.
We've fared better in the last 3 years of a very difficult recession because we knew our customers a lot better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. As the beleaguered banking industry looks for new business models, here's one. Know your customers on site and give your profits to charity. Our series, Economy 4.0, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.